The band Animal Collective knows their sound, and they have figured out what works for them when making a new album. For example, they usually write their songs, then perform them live, and then record them in the studio. This time, with their 10th album called Painting With, they are changing their own rules. This album started in the studio, and it wasn't just any old recording space. Through a twist of fate, they were given a recording slot at Studio 3 in the famous East West Studios in LA. It's where the Beach Boys recorded their famous Pet Sounds album, and it's legendary in the music world for amazing acoustics. I spoke with two members of Animal Collective, Brian Waits and David Portner, and they told me when they walked into that studio, they saw a big piano in the corner and started asking all kinds of questions.
Do we need to move it? Where should we put the mic? But Dave just sat down and started playing it like in the back corner of the room. We were like, that just sounds amazing. No matter where you stood in the room, the piano sounded fantastic. And I think, and that was on day one, and we kind of realized, you know, there's an art to making a room like this where things sound this good. And then for the reverb on the record too, we, you know, there's not a ton of reverb, but we didn't use any artificial plugins or digital things. You know, we just used the echo chambers in the actual studio.
Wow. How does that even work?
It's like it's built into like the guts of the building somewhere else. They're just these pure plaster rooms, and there's a speaker in there. And so like you kind of book time, you ask the other studios, is anyone using it? And then you send the what you want to put echo on, you pipe it into that room through
really?
A speaker. And then there's a microphone that records that and sends it back to your studio.
That's amazing. I mean, we just live in a world where now you just assume that everyone just pushes a button to get that kind of sound.
No, Blanche. She's upset because they keep changing the taste of Coke.
I want to play Golden Gal because it starts with a clip of the Golden Girls, and that's cool. So let's listen to some of that. How did that come about? You were just like, Golden Girls, let's find a way to work Blanche or Rose into the top of a song.
When we were talking about putting the songs together and the sound of the record, we talked about collage, you know, like making an actual collage and just ripping different pieces of things together and putting them like maybe even awkwardly together. And when I made the demo for that song, I wanted to just start to create the vibe that we could be going for, like throw in little examples. And so I just happened to find that sample. There's like a whole montage of Bea Arthur sarcastic comments that you can watch on YouTube, which is hilarious.
That's a good way to spend 10 minutes.
Yeah, just laugh the whole time. And I just, that was the first one, and I just put it on there, and Brian was like, what's that sample? That's staying on the record. I was like, okay.
Usually there's kind of a happy surprise when music comes together, and especially if it's a collaboration like you guys have. What was the most surprising thing that happened on this album? A moment or a...
I think the one that I can shoot to right off the top of my head is just nailing the vocal arrangements as quickly and smoothly as we did. I think for Noah and I, and maybe Brian too, I think there was a little bit of a worry that because of hearing the way that they were written and everything, that it might be a little bit difficult to nail them, but they actually turned into some of the quickest vocal takes that we've ever done and smoothest.
What was technically hard about them?
Just the separation and the way that the orchestrations are. It's a lot of back and forth singing between Noah and I. Mm. There isn't ever really one lead vocalist. You know, I feel like we wanted it to be kind of confusing and feel like snaky kind of, where the vocals were sort of rapping around each other, and you'd hear one voice and then it would turn into another and you'd be like, who's that? So I think it was just keeping that in mind and wanting to really nail that, and that for that idea to come across was really important to us.
Can you point to a song on the album that really exemplifies that snaking vocal, the back and forth between you and Noah?
Well, I think Lying in the Grass.
Yeah, that one especially I thought was going to be difficult, because it's not like two vocal parts alternating. It's actually just one melodic line, and one, in terms of the lyrics, it's one lyrical line, but they each sing a syllable. They alternate syllables, but they didn't sing it together. It was like one went into the room and sang every other syllable and had to nail the notes, and then the other one went in and like had to do it on the off rhythm.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah.
What's next? I know you do something and then you promote it, but does that mean you're already back in the studio or thinking about writing, or where are you?
We have to go on tour. We want to. We like playing live. We don't always try and do a perfect recreation of the song.
Mm-hmm.
We like the songs to be more open-ended, have some room to improvise. You know, the beginnings and the endings are a little bit more amorphous. On the 19th, we start tour. And we're going to practice for the few days before it just to get back in the groove. So
somehow I think you'll be fine. Yeah,
I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, thanks you guys for talking with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Brian Waits and Dave Portner, two of the members of Animal Collective.